Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I am honored to have three of the filmmakers, three of the people who collaborated to the incredibly good film, O Mundo Aqui Dentro, which is The World Inside. It was made in Brazil, actually by a filmmaker who I'd met in Los Angeles, and then she went back to Brazil and then came back here. But we have writer-director Luisa Novo, producer Denise Sabo, and lead actress Vanessa Sandre. So welcome all three of you.
Thank you.
And I'll have to say who's speaking when, I think, at first, so that people can know who they're listening to. It's an honor to have all three of you here. The film O Mundo Aqui Dentro, or The World Inside, is an excellent film. Anyone who wants to watch this film, you can watch it right now. It's in the Discover Indie Film TV series on Amazon Prime Video. You just go to Prime Video any way you can, and you search for Discover Indie Film. Their film is in Season 4, Episode 8. I believe Luisa also has a film in Season 2. but this one is about the world inside, so please watch the film. It's a wonderful film, and if you're watching it on Prime Video, why don't you give it 5 stars, too? People should give this film 5 stars, give the series 5 stars. It's worthy. But so what we do here is we ask a little bit of your personal histories, and you can talk about, you know, we have Luisa's because she's done the podcast before, so you can be very brief. But if you each want to just briefly share your personal story of how you became a producer or an actress or a writer-director, and then, you know, how the three of you came together to make this film, that'd be a great way for us to start.
I'll start very briefly, like you said already, told my story before.
Yeah, this is Luisa, the writer-director.
We all met in university back in Brazil. Me and Denise were in the same class, and Vanessa was 3 years after us, I believe. So that's how we met. And I came to the U.S. a decade ago to continue studying and working. So when I went back in 2018, we reconnected to make this. And then I came up with the idea of why don't we make a film since I was gonna be there for a whole year. And then we started collaborating on it. So Vanessa or Denise, whoever wants to go first to share a little bit about you.
I think it was really nice when Luisa, we made a WhatsApp group, and she came with the script and, oh, I have this idea. It's something that talks about women's situation with violence. I think it's important. So we started talking. And then when we see three months after, we're just filming. It was very fast. I think it worked because it was fast, and we just say, let's do it. And Luisa had this wonderful script. It was very important in a very important theme. So we just started. And Vanessa is an actress. She gave life to the character. I think she could say better than me.
Yes, it was a really nice experience. I think it's important to say that we met in film school. And it was a nice moment because Luisa was in Brazil. Denise and I was also in Brazil, but Denise lived in another city. I still live in the same city. That we filmed and that we met, that we studied together, called Florianópolis, is an island in south of Brazil. So we kind of, I think we three really want to film something because, well, as people know, it's hard to filming. You have to have the right, you have to have the crew and you have to have a story. And it's always some money that I have to spend on it. So I think we three were like really want to do something together. And Luisa came up with this story based on a real thing that happened in Brazil, or domestic violence that ended up with a woman killed. So it was a very important thing, as Denise said. And it was a nice moment, I think, for we as friends to get together and make this come true. And it was really nice because I think it was less than 3 months, Denise. I don't remember how long, but I think just the pre-production itself, like when you set a date, like, okay, we're going to do it. We had like three weeks.
It was really fast. It was WhatsApp, let's do it. Okay, that's my script. Did you like it? Yes, we love it. Let's do it. And then Luisa called everybody, and Vanessa too, in Florianópolis. I was in São Paulo. It's a city like 1,000 kilometers. It's distant. And I say, I'm going to travel to make this film. And then Vanessa was, how can I say, juntando as pessoas?
I put the crew together, kind of. Because I'm also, besides an actress, I'm also a writer, director, and producer. So I produce it too, but my biggest contribution was like putting people together, actually, because we didn't have money. So, but it had a good story, and a story that was an important thing. So people contribute with their work because they believe in the story. That was really nice. There was, I think, the best way to put a crew together, you know, like people that believe in something and want to tell a story.
Yeah, I think, sorry, I was just going to say, I think, and now I'm also collaborating on another project, collaborating and not doing it alone, it makes a huge difference. We all brought different talents to it. Like Vanessa is really get on the ground and do it. And she has a great way of convincing people to do a lot of things. She has a charm, let's say. That's why she's also a great actress.
Thank you, Lisa.
So she was the one that knew the crew because she still lived in the same city, right? I was out like for 8 years. I wasn't living in the country anymore. And Denise was also in another city. So without her connections and everything, I don't think would have made it. And so, yeah, she was kind of, how I would say here, like the producer on site, right? Because the other was, we were remote until we traveled to Jamaica, right? And then Denise was great at getting together and like managing the budget. And her husband also was our still photographer. And then she did post-production color correction and figure, she kind of produced like a post-production supervisor, let's say. She did the color correction. She managed all the sound mixing. She didn't do it, but like she got all of that done. And I wrote the script.
I just wrote the script and directed.
I also edited. So we are all doing many, many, many things. But the one thing we had was that we rely on each other. And that it makes a huge difference that you're not alone. You know what I mean? Like this insurmountable task and you have support. I think it makes a lot of difference.
Yeah. I was just going to apologize to Vanessa that I introduced you as actress. And all three of you are credited as producer. I just, you know, I've seen this film so many times that to me, you are that character first, but obviously you had a key role as a producer. And I was going to ask, one of the things I think is so, well, something that's brilliant about the film is that this character, she's trapped. She's trapped inside a small space, but obviously in making a short film, that's kind of a production advantage, right? That there was everything trapped inside such a small space made it, it worked thematically, but it also made it easy production-wise, yes?
Absolutely. That was definitely, I think, something I knew going into it. Like, we're not going to make something splashy. It had to be small, very few characters and all of that. So that was definitely it. It was consciously small.
And did you have Vanessa in mind to co-produce and be the actress right from the start? Like when you were writing, you pictured her?
Yeah, well, we set out to do it like that from the beginning, that she was going to act in it. But she is the one that knew her co-star, Lucas, and she brought him on because she had worked with him before. And he was just phenomenal. Like I said, she was the connections. She knew everybody. We didn't. But from the beginning, we knew Vanessa was going to be in it as an actress as well. And a lot of the dialogue came from them when they were rehearsing and all of that. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes.
Yes, when you speak to Lucas or whenever someone speaks to Lucas again, oh my goodness, Vanessa's performance is spectacular. And then he comes in as the villain. And I think I've told Luisa this before, but he has the kind of performance that is so convincing that I almost feel bad for the actor that after you said cut, did he just turn to everyone and say, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I have to do these, say these things.
Yeah. Lucas is amazing. It was good, actually, because as we just had a short period of time to pre-produce the film, we didn't have time to do a casting call or like many rehearsals. And also like was we had a lot of physical contact. And it's not that easy for an actor like just to arrive and kiss someone else. Like I like to be prepared for this. And I had this preparation with Lucas for another short movie we filmed. And actually Lucas was not, he's not a professional actor. Like he doesn't live as an actor. It's not his work. He's a programmer, I think. It deals with technology, but he was doing some theater classes and then we made this movie together and he was so great and we became friends and we had all this preparation. And I thought him was the first person I thought when I read the script and I talked with Lisa and I say, okay, I'm going to act and I have the perfect guy for it. And also I think, I don't remember if we changed the dates because of him, because he was just ready to move to another country. I think he's living in Poland now. I'm not sure. But it's great that he could do it in that 3 days of filming. And it was great to work with him again. And it was so funny, this thing I said, no, you can be hard on me because this will help me. Just don't hurt me, but like you can scream with me. You can get hard on me. And he, no, I'm sorry. I don't want to do this. But he did really good in the camera. So it was a nice experience. And it's very something, you know, when you're a friend with an actor that you're acting with. And then when you start to film an action, you have to have another feeling. And then you cut your friends. It's like, it's very confusing sometimes, but it was great to work with him.
Yeah. And you had, I mean, it's so well directed that I'm sure that was helpful for the performers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it makes all the difference to work with people that you trust, right? And super like with Luisa and Denise, we talk all the time. I feel very supported by them to acting, which is not always the case as an actress speaking.
I might as well throw in that if Lucas is a computer programmer as his main gig, he could probably win an award as best looking computer programmer. I do not picture Lucas when I think programmer.
We'll let him know. We'll let him know.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And, it was probably a very quick shoot. How many days did you shoot for?
We shot 3 days. We rented through Airbnb an apartment in Florianópolis just for the shoot. And still, 3 days, you think it's a lot, but it's not. We had a lot to shoot, even in one location. But yeah, it was 3 days total.
And Yeah, I mean, also because it looks, the film looks wonderful. So the crew that Vanessa managed to pull together did an amazing job. It looks great. It creates a mood instantly. Just the visuals. Because I believe, right, a good portion of the film is just watching Vanessa's character go about her day with no dialogue, trapped inside a small apartment, and really everything is communicated visually.
Yeah, we found two cinematographers. They collaborated, Lena and how do we call him?
Francesco, but we call him Cesco.
Yeah. So. Yes. So they were still in film school at the time, and they collaborated both as the cinematographers. And it was great. We were just all like experimenting on the day a lot of, because we didn't have a lot of time to get to know each other and talk about the projects. Like we said, it was really, really fast. So I had a shot list, I had plan, but still on the day. And like I said, like Vanessa, we didn't have a lot of money. So it was all like, borrowed equipment, very, very DIY, let's say, lighting and camera and all of that. So it was just using the tools we had available and figure out how best to tell the story with that instead of the other way around. Like, oh, this is how I want to tell the story. So let's get the tools for that. It was kind of in between. I have a vision. But now this is what we have to make it, so let's compromise.
And I mean, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but it's such an important subject, and it's told in such, I think it's so brutally honest, and it's such a rare film to see, because I think domestic abuse is often portrayed, especially in Hollywood films, in a very false way, like, whereas this showed the tiny microaggressions and tiny details of abuse that, you know, we sit and we watch a meal that could go either way. And it's very impactful. Mm-hmm. So I suppose the question is, as three women producing a film together and each performing key roles, I guess I'm asking if it was extra rewarding to make a film about this, about that.
I think it's tough. It was tough, I think, for all of us. And even when we were trying to invite people from get together, like to be part of the crew, some people didn't accept. As the same that some people accepted to do it because they believe in the story, other people say, oh no, this, I don't want to talk about it in this way. I don't want to like show violence. I don't believe that this is the way. And of course we respect, but we said, this is what you want to tell. That's how we feel about it. You know, that's how we want to show it. So, but it was not easy, it was not comfortable, but at the same time was, I think the rewarding part is like, do this as friends in a friendship, in a face environment that made us believe that, that this is an important thing to do. So we made it, and we feel great that we made it such important subject to speak about. And also this other thing I said before, this friendship, again, we making this be possible again in such a short period of time, as Lisa said, it's like, it was crazy.
Yeah, the subject matter, like she said, had very different reactions from different people. It's a fine line to know. We see so much violence in weird ways. I just watched Halloween Kills, and like the amount of gore in that movie is like, it's a lot. It's like stuff in the eyes and like camera is right there. So it seems like people think some types of violence are acceptable, maybe because they're not real, not sure. And then others are like too much to see. And we never wanted to explore it as like, oh my God, we're just showing violence against women. And just make people more desensitized to it. We actually wanted people make people less desensitized because we're already desensitized to it. We see it on the news all the time, and we just felt the way the movie progressed and how it came to the violence. You saw and you felt like, why did anybody stop this? And then, but I felt like there needed to be that conclusion. Like, what happens? What's the worst possible scenario of a situation like this? And show so people can see in a very mundane way, right? It's not like a woman attacked on the corner of a dark street. It's not that. So it's like the violence is very mundane, but shocking. Like, we did want to shock people. So that if they are ever confronted with a situation like this, they are more empowered to do something about it. But the last thing you wanted was just like, oh, more violence against women, just like just showing violence for the sake of violence. That was never our intention. And I hope that when people watch it, that's not what they get from it.
Yeah, no, I'm sure it's not what they get. And it is, I mean, I think we all know, I mean, there's billions of hours of television streaming right now that is all about investigating strangers attacking women. And there's whole TV series, you know, Special Victims Unit, which is basically it's nonstop, right? This idea that there's danger out there in the world. But the truth is, the most likely suspect in any woman's attack or murder is her partner, always. And I think what's extra impactful, we can just please watch this film. May I spoil something? If someone hasn't seen it, is that you make it clear he's going to get away with this.
Yeah.
He accidentally, I believe it was an accident what happened, but then he, in that moment, comes up with a gruesome way to get away with it.
Yeah, a lot of people still get away with it, or they try to. And this is the inspiration for this. He also tried to get away with it, because that's what they think, right? They're not going to lose their lives they're not going to take responsibility for what they did. The women's lives are always less important, have less value. So wouldn't believe it, you know, like he's very convincing at the end. So if you just happen upon the situation at that moment, he was so distressed, why wouldn't you believe, you know? So yeah, it's sad, but it's the truth. And that's another reason why I wanted to tell the story this way, because all of those steps are very probable in the real world. The tiny microaggressions, the way he treats his wife, and then the way that he decides to end her life, and then the way he decides to get away with it. All of that are very probable and terrifying because they're so not grandiose whatsoever. They're just tiny little things that accumulate and for horrifying ending.
Mm-hmm. And also I think one of the points of the movie is showing this psychological abuse, you know, because she's trapped in that place, but she's not really trapped, you know. She has a phone. She can go away. She can walk through the door and be free. But she can't, because in her mind, she doesn't have this possibility. So this is kind of something we want to show, because lots of people say, oh, okay, if she was being abused, why she never left home, in the real stories, right? Why people like to get to a point where something worse can happen, right? But because victims of violence and victims of psychological abuse, they can't see this way. They can't see. And so that was a little bit of what we want to try to present to the public, you know, to the audience, this world inside of her, how she feels trapped by that, and how much trying to do what she thinks would be the best, but it was not her fault. So one way or another, she became like, this story became so terrible in the end.
Yeah, and I think Luisa's writing of the script makes it clear that we're seeing a moment. It's been a long progression, because he is still working on isolating her from her mother, but he hasn't accomplished that yet. But if things had gone on for months longer or years longer, at some point you can tell this man is going to make his wife cut off from her own mom.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think this is the first step of any abuser, was like isolate the victim, right? Because putting the person far from friends and family, because this person feels more trapped, and not just trapped, feels more that she just have this other person, you know, she just have the husband, the only person that pretends to care about her. So yes, I think that's the first step of, that's how the violence starts to be touchable, you know, when you make people far from their beloved ones.
Yeah,
he's making sure she has no one to turn to for help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it starts, the type of language and the cycle of abuse is you break down any sense of self-worth the person has, then you love them again, right? Then you're like, I'm so sorry, I never meant to hurt, I just love you so much. That's one of the words, right? I love you so much, that's why I do that, so you can be a better person. I want you to be a better person. I want you to change your habits, your bad habits, and start with that. And the way they break the connection with family and friends is by talking bad about them, saying how they are terrible. Look how they're talking about me. Like anytime they try to warn her, they don't want your best. They don't have your best interest at heart. They don't want you to be happy. They're just trying to break us apart. And that's how it starts. And the person starts believing that, because if you say something long enough, and you, somebody that's cut off of everybody else is going to start believing it, that they are really not worth anything, that nobody loves them but the person that's abusing them. And to get out of that is hard. It's hard.
And I think it's important to say that anybody can end up like this. Anybody can end up in an abusive relationship. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you're well-educated or not. Of course, we studied a lot, as much as we can, to make this movie. But, of course, you get into this subject matter after this. And, like, I follow a feminist therapist. So she's a psychoanalyst. She's a therapist, and she's a feminist therapist, and she ended up in an abusive relationship. She said, so it doesn't matter, even if you're a psychiatrist or a therapist, you can end up on it. It's like, it's very complicated. So it's a way of to not blame any victim. We have like to embrace ourselves and say like, this is possible to help with me. So I feel this pain for my other, for the other women that face this too.
Absolutely. I'll just briefly mention, I last night I watched the new HBO documentary on Brittany Murphy, and mm-hmm. it's exactly what happened to her. Someone came into her life and she fell in love kind of quickly. And then he pushed away every agent, every manager, every friend, everyone except her mother, who he could control also. But it was, but it happened gradually over a couple months, and then she was trapped. Yeah, it happens. It doesn't matter what your status is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, so back to the filmmaking itself too. So you had an intense 3-day shoot, and then was it a wonderful edit? Did everything just go together? Because it looks that way.
So I edit pretty fast. Like, I think I said that before too, when we did the Q&A for the film festival, that because it was such a short amount of time between conception and at least finishing the edit, that I wasn't sick of it. So I actually was very excited to, after shooting, to just get the material and edit. So we finished editing pretty fast. And it was great to have them to bounce off. Like, so I'll send a cut to them. They'll give me notes. And then I'll make a new, I'll make the changes and send it back again. And then after that, it was a little longer to finish color and sound. Sound was the one that took the longest. But the edit, I was pretty happy with the editing. I just felt like it was the story we wanted to tell. And yeah, so I think to go back to time, I think I started writing in July. I think that's when I started writing. And then we decided, let's make it probably like mid-October. We're just like, let's make dates and let's decide this. And then we shot at beginning of December. So that's how fast it was of choosing everything. And then I think I probably finished editing in January, because I finished, or maybe February. It was like very, very soon afterwards.
I think it was January, because we had plans to start distributing in March. I think that was the plan, but we started in March.
Okay, next year.
Next year, but
yeah.
The year was all, it was all 2019 or 2018.
We shot December 2018.
Yeah, it was all 2018.
And then, yeah, and but then we finally finished at the end of 2019 or the beginning of 2020. It was like,
I think
was like
in the end of, no, we start in beginning of 2020, the first festival. I think it was like yeah. this, because the problem, the what take a lot of time was the sound, because we, everything was for free, our friends helping us.
Yeah.
So, I have a friend here, and now he has a nice studio and sound studio, a mixing room. And oh, please, we have this story. He looked at the film. Oh, it was a wonderful story. It's really important to tell the story. And he was trying to put us in the windows that he has in his mix room. Oh, today I'll have 1 hour, and then he mixes it a little bit to make the sound. And this this process took us a lot of time, but of course for free, and not just because it's free, but he was wondering about doing a great job, and he made the soundtrack for us, and Luisa was always saying, I want this and that, and she was in US, we were here in Brazil, and things were not fast.
Yeah, and also remember I decided I want another shot. Vanessa had to go back.
Right.
Yeah. So I just really wanted another shot of a zoom in of the curtains after she falls with the empty room. So Vanessa's still living there. So it was like she had to communicate with my brother to get the curtains, communicate with the woman that owns the apartment to go to the apartment and make sure the cinematographers were available. So we finished the edit, except I wanted that shot that they have to produce to get it. So that also delayed a little bit, like a couple of months after I finished editing to just get that shot.
And but it makes a difference.
I do think it makes a difference. Like, if we can, why not? Let's do it, you know?
Yeah, it was like 1 hour of our lives to you're a little bit more, but I just, and I was funny because I ended up in that year working with one of the cinematographers. He was still a student and he was my intern. I was working in a cultural foundation. So it's kind of, okay, let's go do it and we'll go to work together. So it was
with my boss.
It's a wonderful story of an of how technology allows you to function internationally with such ease as compared to just 5-10 years ago. The fact that with Louisa going back and forth to Brazil and ending up in Los Angeles again, but being able to even ask for a pickup shot, I imagine like much later, like months later.
Yeah, it was a few months later, maybe like March or April. So let's say I finished the edit of everything I had in January and they
went. I think it was April because I was start to work in April with the cinematographer, so probably was.
Yeah. And then they shoot it, they come back to me, we put it in the edit, and then we final edit. And then it goes to Denise to do the color correction. So.
But you didn't, but the pickup shot you were requesting didn't involve both actors and it didn't involve hair matching.
No, we just involved the book, the curtains, which were my brother's. So they had to go get it and put it up. And yeah, that's it. Cause everything else was from the house. So as long as the woman from the house was okay with us going there, just for this.
And actually that was nice because people get involved when you're filming things, people that are not from the film industry, at least they think it's nice. So she helped us a lot, right? She was there in the last day that we have to shooting outside the building. She was there to help, to talk with the other neighbors. So this is something nice about filming, that the people get involved on it. This is really nice.
I think she was a major actress, the owner of the apartment.
She was?
Yeah. No. Yeah, she told she had when she was a teenager, a group of. Yeah, I think she told us something like that. Probably because of that, she was so excited about this crazy girl's producing her apartment.
Which is great. Yeah, obviously, I hear all the time how small communities away from places like Los Angeles and New York are so much friendlier towards productions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it's like, it's not the big city, right? Something, when something new happens, everybody get involved.
So you finished, and when you hit the festival circuit, you probably submitted to a bunch of festivals when the world was normal and open. And then while you were waiting to hear back, and I'm only saying this because this had to be your experience with Film Invasion in Los Angeles in 2020, was that our final deadline was March 15th. And I think from March 8th to March 15th, we were scratching our heads saying, so people are submitting and things should be okay by June. Should be able to be in the theater. We, you know, that's honestly what we were thinking in March of 2020. So then your entire festival run lived inside the pandemic lockdown.
Yep. All the festivals we got in were virtual in 2020. Yeah.
Was that helpful in a way, since you were so international with people in different countries, or didn't matter?
I don't know. I mean, we were able to participate together in Q&A, so that was nice. And actually, there was one that had virtual and in-person screenings, Reading Film Fest. So I know there's some people that watch it live, but then the Q&A, we did it virtually. So that was nice too. I don't know if it was good or bad. It was definitely a different experience than in the past, but now we're used to it, I guess. So it's hard to remember how it was before completely.
Yeah, it's kind of changed everything. I don't know if I've told you this, but we asked there was about 700 films submitted to Sherman Oaks Film Festival this year, and we know we can be back in the theater in November, and we asked all 700, how do you feel about, should it be theatrical only? Should it be theatrical, virtual, hybrid? What do you think? And it was 92% positive for being hybrid, to be virtual as well as theatrical. So I was shocked. I thought everyone was going to be, forget virtual, we don't want it anymore, we only want to be in the theater. But I think filmmakers know now that virtual means more people seeing your work.
Yeah, definitely. I think more people saw the movie because it was virtual. That's for sure. But it's hard because you're still not interacting with them. So we don't really get a lot of feedback. Deal. Yeah.
Yeah, and then you just get Q&As like me talking to you instead of a big group. But yeah, what can we do? Although, yeah, and actually your timing, as unfortunate as it was, I do remember like Film Invasion 2020, because it was June of 2020. And I think a lot of festivals were not even doing virtual yet. They were just saying, no screenings, here's the awards. And we had, I think, over 8,000 unique viewers, you know, watching the films. Wow. I was like, wow, that we would never get near that number in the theater, obviously. I mean, you know, we're in a 100-seat theater, so that's filling the theater 80 times.
Yeah.
Crazy. Well,
I think, Jeff, that from now, I think the film festivals start to get more hybrid, right? Because it's amazing. You can't go to the places sometimes, and even more now, but you can watch online. So it's nice, of course, to meet people, but why not in the theaters and do an online session? Like, why not, right? I think this makes things more easy, maybe more open. More people can watch and see things and talking and do podcasts and interviews online. So it's a good thing. But of course, nothing compares to in-person meetings and all this exchange that you have, right, when you're in person.
I think something that changes is, for example, when you work with students, you can say, oh, there's some festival far away, you can watch the movie. And sometimes these people, they just don't have money to travel or to go or time. And that's as the girl said, the big deal. You can watch more, you can see more. On the other hand, the problem is the contact. We don't interact. It's different even to sell the film. It's completely different when you can have a coffee or a beer after the season. And I think we're learning. We're still learning. We have to pick, as you said, Jeff, I think the hybrid format is good because we can have this, if there's no internet or hybrid, Canada, USA, Brazil, it was impossible to have this conversation. But I would love to be with you together and then after the podcast going to drink something. It would be greater.
Yeah, I think I forgot to say as I introduced each of you what countries you happen to be sitting in at the moment. But yeah, we have Toronto, Los Angeles, and then down in Brazil. Was it Sao Paulo or
São Paulo?
So talk about an international podcast. It would be impossible any other way.
Yeah.
And are you going to collaborate again? I might recommend that Los Angeles is kind of halfway for everybody.
Would it be amazing? I'm just like my friend Lisa, invite me.
Just come over. I know Denise has her two short documentaries that she directed. They're in film festivals right now.
Yeah, I will send to your festival. I was talking about Louisa. Oh, it's the festival that accepted the World Inside. I have my new documentary as director. As director, I just make documentaries, and I will make my inscription. And imagine if maybe next year going to US and travel to this movie. And of course, if you want to go to Brazil, the house is open.
Vanessa and me are kind of closer now, so we should definitely do something. But they should come visit me in LA. There, we can make something anytime.
For sure. And we'll hold a special, if you happen to visit, then we'll throw a special annex event for the festival. I admit I have been tempted to all the films that we couldn't show because of lockdown at the theater. Now that we can get back into the theater, I wonder about sending everyone an email and saying, hey, who never got inside a theater that whole year? Who wants, should we rent the theater for an extra day and just pretend it's, and do show 10 shorts from June 2020 that we couldn't sit together and watch back then? But, and it's a lot of logistics.
Yeah. Well, in 2020, it was also virtual. So you have 2 years on your hands.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know that Louisa did a comedic web series since The World Inside. And now I learned that Denise did a documentary. Vanessa, is there something you should mention?
Sorry, what is the question?
Is there a project you've done since The World Inside?
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Sorry. yes, I did a few things, but now, this moment, I'm working my next short movie. Actually, it was supposed to be filmed before the pandemic, but then the pandemic started and we couldn't film. I have a grant in Brazil for filming it. And I'm really excited. So I'm trying to figure out when I can come back to Brazil to film. If I will come back in this year or in the beginning of next year to film.
It is a complicated time to travel with, and I believe Canada has done a wonderful job of being very protective of its citizens as far as, right? Canada has been keeping Americans out.
This thing about politics and policies about the pandemic, it's very complicated. So yeah, it's much as we can wait, but actually now that people are getting vaccinated, it's easily. So hopefully I can make it as soon as possible. I'm really excited to do this. And yeah, and then back to Brazil and see my friends and work with some friends back there. And then come back to Canada again. So it's been a little bit crazy.
You are a group of fascinating jet set artists.
That's funny. We never think of us that way.
You know, what can I say? The shoe fits. So many filmmakers are just, you know, they're Los Angelinos permanently, you know. But anyway, is there anything else anyone would like? Oh, sorry.
Maybe because we are Brazilian, producing in Brazil is very hard. So I think producing is always hard, but we, our market, it's difficult. Everything is difficult here. So we if we are still producing, we just make it. Like Vanessa said, she doesn't know when she's gonna shoot her movie, but she will. Tomorrow or 1 year, she will. And Luisa, she's always producing. I'm always trying to produce my movies. And we keep doing, and that's our life. We love it.
I think it's wonderful. I think it's great. Well, is there anything anyone wants to mention before we wrap it up? I want to congratulate all three of you on a wonderfully made, wonderful film. It's The World Inside. Very proud to have it be part of the Discover Indie Film TV series that we do. And yeah, it's a difficult subject, but when you take on a difficult subject and you give it such honesty and respect and truth, that's one of the more important uses of this medium.
Thank you, Jeff, and thank you for the opportunity. Thank you for the opportunity of us to show our movie and for this meeting, and we get together again. It's really nice. Really good to see you girls.
Yes, always.
Thank you. Thank you a lot. I'm very happy to be here. I had to leave for a few minutes, but...
No, as Luisa knows, the only reason I started this podcast was because at the theater we talked for, you know, 15 or so minutes about each film. And I was like, that's not enough. You know, the whole purpose of film is it's a shared art that you watch together. And then, you know, ideally, even an 8-minute film you can discuss for an hour or, you know, discuss over days. So really I didn't even bring up, you know, we talked about cinematography briefly, but there's when a film is made meticulously and carefully, and you can tell that the people making it are making it because they just care about it, then there's really no limit to what you can say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I think just to finish, I think I'm very glad about this movie is because we kind of achieve what for me is the essence of filming. That is like do things together. You know, it's not about one person make his movie. It's like we did it together and had a nice crew, people that care about. So that's for me, this essence, this is the meaning of why I want to make films. It's getting connected with people.
So you're saying Luisa didn't march around the set yelling at everyone that she's a genius and they have to do exactly what she says? She's going to push them out the window if they stand in her way?
No, not at all. And then for good news for the movie, today, girls, I think they don't have this new. We're going to sign. The movie is going to Fábrica de Cultura. It's a place from culture here in Brazil, and it's going to represent the women rights show. It's a very important, yeah. Because in November there is a day to remember people that beat in women. It's not good. That's important to protect women. And our film was chosen to represent Fábrica de Cultura, Culture Factory in a free translation. and I'm going to sign the contract today. And our movie is going there, and a movie made from, it's not a new movie, but it continues to be invited to events in different countries and different places. I think, as Vanessa said, and as Luisa said, it's important we are always together to make this film, and now see the film keep going. It's really wonderful.
Good news.
Very good news. I will wrap this up. I'll mention to everyone listening, we're going to do a podcast right after this one where I believe Vanessa and Denise will tell us what their favorite films are and things like that. It's a list that it's the four questions that Luisa answered. I would guess in like 2018, you answered them.
2019.
Okay. I should have looked up when your first podcast was, the one about becoming,
Lucy.
My damn memory, becoming Lucy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, well, I'll wrap this up by, thanking all three of you. We had the team that made, The World Inside. That's Luisa Novo, Denise Sabo, and Vanessa Sandra, all three produced. Luisa wrote and directed. Vanessa also was in front of the camera as the lead performer. So just a wonderful, wonderful film. People should watch this wonderful film by going to Amazon Prime Video, hopefully on a very large TV. Don't watch it on your phone. And go to the Prime Video app on your TV and search for Discover Indie Film and go to season 4, episode 8. It actually, the film, a film made by two sisters from Brazil, plays before your film. I thought they were Italian because their last name is Luciano. And then when I interviewed them for their podcast, they both moved to Los Angeles from Brazil together. So it's actually season 4, episode 8 of Discovery Indie Film is an all Brazilian episode of sorts. And theirs is about racism and a woman being very prejudiced in the lobby of a women's clinic. So I had no idea there was a theme to that episode till they told me.
That sounds like a good match.
It is. And who knew? Ends up we have five talented filmmakers from Brazil all contributing to that
amazing
episode.
That's so nice.
Kismet, I think, is the word we use. All right, well, I mentioned the TV series. You should give the TV series 5 stars. You should give this podcast 5 stars. You should give everything that Luisa, Vanessa, and Denise have ever done. Give it 5 stars anywhere you can. This is a world, we live in a Yelp-controlled world now, so give people nice reviews. Be kind and give stars to everyone. If you want to learn more about the podcast or the TV series that was born out of it, you can at discoverindiefilm.com. And for social media, it's at DIFWINS. And we talked about Film Invasion Los Angeles, which Luisa has been to twice now with two different films. You can learn about Film Invasion Los Angeles. Oh, three. Yeah. My bad. I forgot the web series that was. Yeah. So you did 2 years in a row. That's very
impressive.
2 years
in a row. Yep.
Two lockdowns in a row. Such challenges you faced. Breakland. You should do a little Googling of Breakland and try to find her comedy, which is the opposite of The World Inside. But if you want to learn about Film Invasion Los Angeles, go to filminvasionla.com, and it's at Film Invasion LA on social media. And it has a sister festival that's in November. I brought it up during this because it's next month, so every minute of every day I'm forced to think about this festival, and that's the Sherman Oaks Film Festival. And you can learn about it at ShermanOaksFF.com, and it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. And by the way, anyone listening, anywhere in the world, so nice. We're going to be in the theater for 8 days, and then literally when the last movie ends on Sunday at 6 p.m., Then a virtual festival begins with screenings online, starting at that on November 21st at 6 p.m. And actually, of the 70 films that are showing at the theater, 60 have said, we want to be virtual also. So actually, there will be a chance to see almost all these wonderful films. And I can't tell you how nice it is to have that luxury. So thank you, everyone. Thank you, Luisa, Vanessa, and Denise. It was a pleasure to talk to all three of you. And
thank you.
And I'll thank everyone who listened.